All right, now let's turn, please, to Luke, the 12th chapter. I want to take as my text verse 20 and 21. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. In this parable, our Savior singles out an individual, deals with him as an individual, recognizes his attitude, and tells him that he's a fool. And then he turns around, and in order that there can be no possible mistake so far as the application of this parable is concerned, he says, so is everyone else that has the same attitude that this man has. And that includes you. That includes me. And the parable, therefore, of the rich man was designed to speak to us, to speak to anyone that reads it. No matter who he is or where he is, he reads this, why, so is everyone. So is everyone that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So we have a message that's directed to us, clearly out of the Scripture, and it's applicable to all time, so far as man is here on the earth. Now, by way of introduction, there are two or three things that are elementary to this parable, as the Lord tells it to us. The first one is that this man had some private property. He had some ground. He apparently was a farmer. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. He owned it. And this is an individual being in possession of some ground. Jesus Christ in this parable raises no question about the lawfulness of any such thing as private ownership. Nothing like that is questioned. In fact, you can't find it questioned anywhere in the Bible. But our Lord Jesus Christ tells the parable on the assumption that this man had a right to own what he had. And then he proceeds to say that the ground of this man was very productive, and it produced a great profit, a great return. And as a result of the increase, the man's wealth was multiplied. Now, there's one thing that we're not told, and that is we're not told that the increase which was produced by the man. That's not told us in this passage. Perhaps he did labor, perhaps he did work in the matter, but it's not brought out. It just simply said he had the ground and it produced abundantly. And as a result, his financial return, his material return was very great. And now when a situation like this develops, what should be the attitude of an individual toward these things? At this particular point, the man had some ground and it was increased in abundance, and here he had it all. Now, what should be a man's attitude in circumstances of this kind? He goes into business, and his business prospers, and he gets a profit. And I know one thing, you can look at this passage, there's not a thing here about the government collecting an income tax on it. He wasn't worried about that aspect of the developments as we've seen them come about us. But what should be the man's attitude toward these things? Well, the answer is the man has some attitude. It should be right or it should be wrong. He's got some attitude toward it. It was his barns and his field and his ground, and he saw it produce. So he's got an attitude toward it. And beloved, I don't care who you are or where you are, whatever you possess, you have some attitude toward that. You've got an attitude toward it. You look at it a certain way. Everybody does. You can't help it. It's yours. It's on top of you. There it is. Now, the Lord wants you to have the right attitude. He wants you to have an attitude toward it which will make you rich toward God. And in the things that God's given us, we can be very poor because our attitude's wrong. In the things which God has given us, we can actually become fools because our understanding of what He's given us is in complete error. But if our attitude is right, we can be wise. If our attitude is proper in the sight of God, we will be rich toward God.
Now, there's one other thing that you must see in a preliminary way before I get into the heart of this parable. And it is the marvelous assumption. Perhaps I shouldn't even say assumption. It's the marvelous reality that Jesus is the one that has the right to tell us what our attitude should be. Isn't that beautiful? He's the one who's talking about this rich fool. He's the one who's explaining that this thing is wrong. And furthermore, he's the one who pronounces the word fool. And beloved, if Jesus Christ calls you a fool, that's what you are. When Jesus Christ makes an appraisal like that, he's in a position to tell you exactly what you are. And so the one person who's in a position to tell us what the right attitude is toward our ground or toward our property or toward our homes or toward what we have, the one person who's in a position to do it and who has the right to do it is Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful to see that as you open up this parable? Just stands out so clearly. Ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And then Jesus proceeds to tell us exactly what's wrong, and he opens this thing up. Well, now, what is wrong? What is wrong? Well, in the first place, this man had the wrong attitude toward his property. Now, that's one. He had the wrong attitude toward it. And that attitude can see in their emphasis upon I. What shall I do? Behold, I have no room. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will bestow all my fruits. I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Did you ever see so much I? My, oh my. The property and the success made him pretty good, made it pretty big. He says, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do something else. And he had the wrong attitude toward his ground. And he had a wrong attitude toward the increase that came from that ground. And beloved, Jesus Christ is dealing primarily with your attitude, with your mind, with that which is in your heart in relationship to these things. Oh, beloved, when you preach the law, when you preach the word, when you preach this glorious gospel, you brush aside every consideration. You come right down inside of a man where he is. And it's in the heart of man that these issues of life, from whence comes murders and thefts, they come out of the heart. From whence comes this attitude that's going to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? In the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. And so he said, don't lay up your treasures in heaven. Don't lay up your treasures on earth. He says, the moths are here and the rust is here. And these things which you destroy. But look at your treasures in heaven. Think in terms of eternity. Think in terms of these realities which will abide beyond the chasm and the veil of death. Think of these things. That's what Jesus is talking. And he says, this man had the wrong attitude toward his ground. Now what he ought to have said, well, the ground was the Lord's, it's not mine. You know why he ought to say that? Because Jesus is right now telling him that Jesus has the right to tell him about that ground. Jesus had that ground. He gave it to him. He had the wrong attitude toward his prophets. He had the wrong attitude toward the increase that God gave him. Somebody might say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ recognizes private capital, private enterprise. I would say he does. Don't question about it. Not only in this parable, but in the Ten Commandments. The right of an individual. You don't have any communism here. Everybody owning everything. You don't have any socialism here. It's not here. And the way to deal with the evils of our capitalistic system is not to destroy the system, but to deal with the individual capitalist and tell them they've got the wrong attitude toward their ground. And they've got the wrong attitude toward their profits. And they've got the wrong attitude toward their increase. And if we'd had that kind of preaching from the pulpits of the church of this country and from Presbyterian pulpits, we wouldn't be amending our confession of faith so we could get into these so-called social problems. No, we'd never do it. In other words, the rebuke and the reproof that the Scripture gives to a man who owns something is not because he owns it, but because he doesn't recognize that he's a steward under God of what he has. And this man didn't recognize his stewardship, and that's the beginning of your trouble. That's what got him off. If he'd been good at this point, if he'd started out right, if he'd had the right attitude toward the property, he never would have come up with all this grandiose plan as what he was going to do in order that he could go off and rest and feed his soul. So that's the first thing that's wrong, and Jesus penetrates it just as direct and just as specific as anything can be. And beloved, as we come to this every member canvas and we think of what God's given us, God's given everybody something. We all have something. We've all got it. You can't say you haven't, because I know you have. And are you going to have the attitude toward what God has given you that this man has? If you have, you're just a fool. So is everyone that is not rich toward God. All right, now in the second place. You look at this passage, and this man thought that his goods could satisfy his soul. He thought that his goods could do more than they can do. Well, it's natural. That's a natural outgrowth. This is mine. This is my increase. And I'm a big man. And I'm going to do all this. And when I do all this, it'll just be for my soul. Notice what he says down here. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. This man had the idea that all the abundance that he had in some way or other would be able to satisfy his soul. And at that point, he has made a colossal mistake. A tremendous mistake. Material things cannot feed the soul. Man shall not live by bread alone. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Possessions, material wealth, the things which men get out of the struggle that we find ourselves in of a material nature, they can only be helpful up to a certain point, and then it stops. And they can't go yonder into the realm of the soul. Can't do it. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, there's a place for property, there's a place for gain, there's a place for these things. And I'd like to develop that for you, if I may. If I have time, I will. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you get to a realm beyond that, into the soul. And in that realm, he says to this man, only God can help you. Only I can help you. Only the Son can give you rest. You can only find peace and happiness for the soul in what God has made possible for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the unregenerate man of wealth thinks that his wealth can help him, until he learns the lesson that this rich fool is being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. But please, please, beloved, remember that what you have of a material nature can be used. Yes, it can be used for the glory of God. And it can be used for an ever-member canvas. It can be used in wonderful ways. But it cannot feed your soul. Can't do it. It takes the Word. It takes Christ. It takes the Son of God. Why wouldn't we be in a terrible fix if the rich man had his soul fed by his wealth, and the poor man had his soul fed by his wealth? Well, it's the other way around. Jesus Christ said, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And here was a man who, because of his riches, he moved in to think that his riches would be able to take care of his spiritual needs. And he says, I'll say to my soul, rest. Many treasures laid up. Many years. You don't have to worry anymore whatsoever about these matters. Your soul will be just as happy as it could be. And he thought that his material possessions would take care of him. Jesus said, you're a fool. Isn't it interesting to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't call very many men fools in the Bible? No, you just find it a couple of times. Thou fool! What a condemnation from the lips of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I would say there's a third thing that this man was wrong about. Tremendously in error about. And that is, he failed to recognize the uncertainty of his own life. He thought he was going to live for a long time. He thought many, many years. And Jesus Christ said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose will these things be? And he forgot that the very thing that he was going to make happy with his money wasn't his to keep, wasn't his to hold on. He thought he could hold on to his money, yes, but he forgot that he couldn't hold on to his soul. And that for which he'd made his money to feed his soul, he didn't even have the soul in his power to feed. He didn't have his soul in his power to keep. He didn't have his soul in his power. Wasn't his. This night thy soul shall be required. And here you have the concept of vanity, vanity, vanity. What are you working for? What are you living for? What are you doing this for? What's going to get out of it? What's going to be the gain of it? You're going to fly away tomorrow, and then where is it all? Isn't it interesting? The longer you live, the more detached you become. And the younger you are, the more you think, this is mine, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to have this, and this will take care of my soul. But even the young men are cut down. No man has a lease on his soul. No man has a contract with God guaranteeing that you'll be 70 years old so you can enjoy your property. No man has some kind of a deed that belongs to him that was handed down from his ancestors that he's going to live 65 years. You can't even think in those terms. You can't even dream in those terms because no man knoweth what even a day or an hour may bring forth. And it's the uncertainty of life which is in the hands of Almighty God that should temper every one of us, would cause every one of us to stop and say, well, these things can't feed me. Well, as I develop this for you and unfold it out of this parable for you, and you see it so beautifully here, you're going to say, well, what's the value of all these things? Well, there's a great value to them because Jesus Christ says you can be rich toward God. But before I mention that being rich toward God, let me give you two other things that made this man a fool. I've already given you three. You look in this passage. And this man forgot that his soul was accountable to God as well as his property. Oh yes, he had his fields and he had his production and he says, I'll build more barns and I'll fill them up and I'll have everything else. And we've seen that he forgot that that belonged to God, and God's the one who brings the gain. But he forgot also that his soul was responsible to God. Not just that he's going to leave here tonight and go off tomorrow, and nothing so far as things are happening now is concerned. No, right this very minute, beloved, your soul itself, just as your property belongs to God, and your soul in the ministry that you have, in the things of your soul, you must give an account to God. And it's in this area that so many people are just the biggest fools. Isn't it interesting how we'll take care of our bodies? We'll take care of our hair, and we'll take care of our faces, and we'll take care of our clothes, and we take care of everything about us, but we don't take care of our spirits. We don't provide for the nourishment of the soul. We take care of the body, yes, but we don't provide for the food of the soul. We don't provide for that which is going to go down deep into our hearts. And beloved, every single day you and I need to nourish the soul. We need to get the word of God that will feed our soul. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, the cleansing of your spirit. And you can take care of your body, but how about your soul? How about your family altars? How about your personal life? How about your regular attendance at prayer meetings? How about you're coming to the house of God? How about being here where your soul is being fed? Let me ask you something. When you come here to church on Sunday, am I feeding your bodies? Did I ever give the choir an all-day supper? Did I ever put anything like that in your mouth to keep you happy while I was preaching? No, I've never fed you. I've never served sandwiches from this pulpit. I've never offered you a cup of coffee. Of course, these modernist churches now have vestibules full of little coffee urns. And after the church, you go out and have a nice coffee and a few other things. And they've gotten the idea that the way to keep the churches going is to have all this food around and all this social thing around. That's what they've got. They've got going to feed your body. I've been here all these years. I've never fed you people anything that's of a material nature. Isn't that interesting? I've never cooked even a meal. Oh, we got a kitchen over there. I never even cooked that. And there's some people that have gotten the idea that we got to pamper the body in order to tickle the fancy of the people and get them into the house of God. I don't have that idea. I'm giving to you something from this pulpit that you can't get in any kitchen in the country. And I'm giving you something in this pulpit that only God can give you, and I'm taking it out of the Word of God, and the finest cake and the best sandwiches and the finest chef that ever walked this earth can't give you what I've got in this book to give you. It's impossible. And what this man forgot was that his soul belonged to God, and that his soul needed to be fed, not with barns and not with food and not with an abundance, but his soul needed to be fed by the truth of God. That'll keep your soul. That'll keep your soul. Well, there's still a fifth thing that this man forgot, made him a fool. He's a pretty big fool, if you ask me. In fact, he's getting to be a bigger fool. The more I preach on him, the bigger he becomes for his foolishness. Just think of this man. And Jesus Christ is tearing him to pieces. Jesus Christ is tearing his barns to pieces. He's tearing his program to pieces. He's tearing everything he's got to pieces. And he says, your soul's going to be taken away from you. And then whose will these things be? They're not yours. You know what this man forgot? He forgot hell. He forgot the judgment. He forgot that the wages of sin is death. We just forgot hell, that's all. And beloved, hanging over the rich fool is the certain judgment of God that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, whether this rich man ever heard about hell, I don't know. We have no indication. But at this point, he'd run into Jesus Christ, who's the only person who can deliver you from hell. He's come to face with Jesus Christ. And he says, so is everyone. So is everyone that forgets these things and acts like this man. He's a fool. And he's not rich toward God. All right, let's talk about the riches of God for just a moment. As you see them here in this passage. I could take these 5 points and just turn them around and give you the other side of the coin, so to speak, and emphasize it. But what does the Lord mean by riches toward God? Lay not up for yourself treasures in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what our Savior is talking about. Now, there's one thing I'd like to clarify for you. I don't believe, as I analyze this parable for you, I don't believe that Jesus Christ was condemning this man for wanting to increase his gains. I don't believe that's there. It's the wrong attitude that he had toward it that he condemns. Because I've already given you several parables last Sunday night, and the one on the talents, and the Sunday night, the one on the pounds, and the Lord gave man 1 pound, and he went out and got 10 pounds. He gave man 1 pound, he went out and got 5 pounds, and the Lord commended the man because he put it into investment and brought back an increase. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying it's wrong for your farm to produce a great deal. There's nothing wrong with that, provided you have the right attitude toward it. Provided you use it in the way that the Lord would have you use it. Well, we're not going to take the position that the thing to do is to tie everything up in a napkin and not use it. He's condemned that. And we're going to say that the rich man here was wrong in wanting to build new barns and expand these activities. Nothing of that sort. I don't think Jesus is condemning that in itself. He is condemning the wrong attitude which this man had toward these things. Beloved, if you're in a position to get gain so the work of the Lord can have more money, God bless you. The more you can get and use in the service of Jesus Christ, the greater will be your service. And I think that that's involved when Jesus Christ says he's not rich toward God. I want to succeed. I want to get some gain. I want to have these things so I can give more and I can send out missionaries and I can help the Lord. And I'll give to him what he asks and I'll be a good steward. And then I'll say, Lord, bless what I'm using. Multiply it again so I can use it some more. And please, Lord, keep the government from taking too much away from me so I'll have more to give to you. Isn't that tremendous? Now that is what our Savior's talking about. Now talk about the riches of God. Oh, how they are expanding and expanding in this passage. Do you know the man that isn't a fool, but has the right attitude and step by step unfolds as this parable does in a way which is pleasing to God? Do you know what that man has? He has the greatest possible delight. The rich fool says, I'll go off and I'll rest. The man of God says, I'm going to work and work while it's day, for the night comes when no man's going to work. And I'm going to get the increase and the gain that I can to advance the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so our Savior says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself. He's the fool. For himself. It's not that you're going to lay up some treasures or you're going to use what God's given you. No, you must use it in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're coming to this canvas next week. Every member of this church has got an attitude of some kind. You surely have. Everybody has it. Every member of this church is confronted with, what am I going to do? Every member of this church is confronted with a decision, and that decision is going to be made right down inside of your heart. That's where it's going to be made. And that decision is going to be your decision in the presence of Jesus Christ. But I can come to you tonight and tell you the parable of the rich fool, not because I gave you the parable, but because Jesus Christ set that parable before you and me. And just as he spoke to this man, he's speaking to you, and he wants us to be rich toward God. He wants us to take of the first fruits of our substance, as he's told us. He wants us to take of our tithes. Beloved, every Christian should be a tither. Just in an ordinary accepted matter. We don't discuss it. We don't argue about it. It's just the things of life in the service of Jesus Christ. And we honor the Lord with this substance. And then we can help build a work. Then we can help maintain a church. Then we can listen to the word of God being preached, which feeds our soul. This man was a fool. A rich fool. Let's don't be a rich fool or a poor fool or any kind of a fool. Let's be the people of God. Building the house of God. Expanding the work of God. Evangelizing with the gospel of God
and standing together by the grace of God. That's your parable. Oh my, when I preach a passage like this, you just take it just opens up, it just lives, it's just full of these wonderful things. You can't tell me this isn't the Word of God. You can't tell me that this isn't from the mouth of the Son of God. Nobody can talk like this. There's not a human being in this earth with sin in him and who wants to hold on to his property and looks at these things this way. There's no man of his own self could talk like this. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's talking to us. He wants us to listen to him because he'll give us the grace not to be fools, but to be rich toward God. Isn't that marvelous, that passage? I'll give you this as a close. It just comes to my mind again how rich the Word is. Look at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who being rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made, what? Rich. And this is the riches in Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank thee that thou hast given us the joy of expounding the Word of God. We thank thee that we see this old fool, and we don't hesitate to call him a fool because the Lord pronounced the judgment upon him. He thought that what he had was his. He thought it would be able to satisfy his soul, and he was mistaken. He didn't understand that it took other things to feed the soul of man. He thought that his years were his and he could add them up without it showing that they didn't belong to him. And then he forgot about hell, eternity, judgment, condemnation. He forgot about hell. God bless this message to our hearts. We thank thee that it goes deep, it penetrates. And now, Lord, as we just become thy good stewards, and as we look forward to pledging and giving and increasing our giving, Father, may everybody in this church increase their giving. And let's not think in terms of just oversubscribing a budget. God, let us think in terms of bringing the fullest amount we can next Lord's Day. Grant it. For Christ's sake, amen. All right, let's close the service, please, by turning to hymn number 21, Take My Life and Let It Be.